Hello, everyone, and welcome to this latest edition of the Golf Shake podcast. What an Open Championship we were treated to this week at Hoylake. We saw Brian Harman claim the Claret Jug, his first major championship, and he did it in some style. Matt, did you watch as much golf as I did this weekend?
My Sky box went into idle mode and tried to switch itself off a couple of times over the last 4 days.
What, because it had been on for such a long time?
Because it had been on such a long time and the remote was under lock and key.
Ignored my family. It was my mother-in-law's birthday and my in-laws were up for the weekend and I literally didn't speak to them for 2 days.
I love that.
So, yeah, I worked both days, but then, yeah, literally as soon as I got home, golf was on. Didn't speak to anyone. Went and sat in the living room, watched it, and everyone else was just going about their business. Yeah, my wife was definitely a golf widow this weekend, but not because I was playing, because I was watching. And yeah, really enjoyed it. You know, I was a bit frustrated with it at times that I was hoping that there's going to be more of a charge, but the weather kind of put pay to that a little bit. But we'll get talking about that in a bit. But I thought, as an Open Championship, really enjoyed it. And I just think it's a great venue to have an Open, really, because there's quite a few chances for people to make birdies, but also, you know, bogeys are only just around the corner if you're a little bit errant off the tee as well. So having visited Hoylake this week, and it was fairly benign when I went on Monday, there wasn't much wind, it was quite nice and sunny. I thought someone was going to, you know, if it had stayed like that for 4 days, someone would have got to 20 under quite easily. But, you know, it needed a bit of wind and a bit of rain and some difficult weather to kind of bring the scoring down. And that's really what we got, to be honest. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyable for me. I don't know what you thought of it, Matt.
I enjoyed it. I always enjoy the Open. However, I did actually,
I could tell there's a bit of a tone in your voice there that kind of wasn't quite.
No, look, it was Saturday evening for me. I actually sit and I did something that I don't normally do, and I actually sat and wrote like an opinion piece on Saturday evening. And there was, I mean, I won't read through the article, but I think with all the hype leading up to it and the fact that it was the last major and, you know, I felt like I wanted it to do a little bit more for me. And as I sat there, I thought there was five good reasons I felt for me why I wasn't really enjoying it as much as I wanted to. And I kind of sat and wrote this article and it turned out to be quite a popular one because I think quite a few people also felt the same, but you can find it on Golf Shake, still on the news section. But look, the 17th hole in the run-up to the week, there was so much made about, you know, we're going to see 7s, 8s, 9s and 10s on the 17th hole and it's going to, you know, make or break someone's career. And I think it was it a caddy? Was it Billy Foster said, oh, you know, could end someone's career that, oh, it's a monstrosity. And, you know, ultimately we saw 4 6s. Two of those were from players that missed the cut and it just kind of didn't kind of live up to the hype. Saturday, we was promised some really horrible weather and it kind of threatened to come and it kind of didn't. I know Sunday was horrendous, but I felt like at that point, it was kind of already done. I felt like Brian Harman was so far in front. He could have, you know, he knew that, you know, shooting one or two over it would have done the trick. The fact that as a fan, you want players like Rory, Tommy Fleetwood, you know, they both put themselves in so many good positions on Saturday. You know, they missed so many putts. It was almost like the ball was scared of the dark. It just didn't want to go in the hole. And that was kind of really frustrating because you could see they were getting frustrated. And nothing against Brian Harman. That was something else. It was, you know, it's not a, I don't choose my words carefully, but, you know, it's not somebody that we get super excited about.
No, but I mean, that's
still, like, he was incredible.
Yeah, it was very impressive. I mean, it very generally golf at this level comes down to who puts the best. And
yeah,
he put it unbelievably well on greens that no one else could seem to hold a putt on. So
fair
play to him. I mean, he was awesome. And I think at stat, I think he holds something like 450 feet of putts in four rounds, which is just unreal.
And he was,
you know, in contrast to that, Fleetwood on the Saturday hold 37 feet of putts.
Yeah. I think there was a crazy stat. I can't remember the actual number, but it was he something like 55 out of 56 for putts inside 10 foot for the week?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Which is just mad. And look, you know, like I say, I'm taking absolutely nothing away from him because it's thoroughly deserved that he played really well, especially over the weekend. I mean, it was super impressive on Saturday when he went out and dropped a couple of shots that he just kind of, you know, didn't panic, stuck to his game plan, and then, you know, just started to make birdies. Yeah, but, you know, it's just not a name that we kind of get really excited about. And there was that. And then also, watching the TV coverage, I've got to be honest, I felt like I wanted to put it on mute because I was just getting sick and tired of the stupid shouting from the crowds on every single tee shot.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was almost like who could shout the stupidest thing, really.
Yeah.
It was stupid. Yeah, awful.
Yeah. So there was just five reasons. At the end of it.
This is something that we see a lot when we're watching golf from the US, right? And for some reason, it's crept into golf in Britain, and it just shouldn't be there. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, they're shouting things like jacket potato and stupid stuff.
I actually tweeted on Saturday, Sunday, I can't remember what day it was, but it went viral, but it had a lot of interaction, like 27,000-28,000 people. Because I heard somebody shout out beans on toast. And I tweeted about it, and I would say 99% of people were in agreement. There was one or two people that said, "Oh, lighten up, you know, as long as they're not shouting during backswings, I've got no issue. They've paid for the ticket, they can do what they want." And I think you're missing the point. It is literally on every single shot, and it's stupid. And it just, you know, it just got a little bit boring, to be honest. And so, yeah, for that reason, on Saturday night, I was just feeling a little bit underwhelmed by it all, to be honest, a little bit underwhelmed. And I was hoping for a little bit more. What we needed is we needed for somebody to make a run on Saturday. And again, Rory got off to a good start, which actually, looking at his scores for the week, he got off to good starts pretty much every day. He was 8 under for the first 6 holes all week.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, he got to 3 under on the round, which I think he did on Saturday and Sunday, and then just couldn't hold a thing. Tommy didn't hold a thing. And right up until the 18th green, they all seemed to be holding putts on the 18th green. But it was by that point, he was so far in front. I think he stood on the 18th tee, didn't he, Harmon? And a 10 would have been enough for him to win the Open, which is crazy when you think about it.
He looked a little nervy the first 3 or 4 holes, made a couple of poor swings, and he missed it a long way right at the second.
They were all going there, though, weren't they?
And then on the third, he hit a bit of a hooky one that, you know, seen it on TV when it landed and kind of didn't bounce, second bounce, just went straight into that bank. I thought, oh, that's dead. But, you know, he got it up and down. It was unbelievable. As good players do, and when you watch major championships being won, as they do all the time, they hole putts when they need to. And, you know, you go back to last year watching Cam Smith win the Open. I don't think he necessarily played the best from tee to green, but he just canned putt after putt after putt after putt. And Rory didn't do that. And, you know, some of the chasing pack didn't do that. And Harmon certainly did. You know, he holed more than his fair share. And fair play to him. I mean, he just had an unbelievable putting week. But that's generally what it comes down to. You look back at Scheffler, for all everyone's knocking the way he puts, when he won the Masters the year before last, he literally just didn't miss, did he? He just hold everything. Yep. It was just an absolute clinic. And generally, these guys are so good that if they have a good week putting, they win. And that's simple as that, really. And it was good. I do love watching the Open. It is, in my opinion, the best major to watch
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it throws up some storylines. You know, we had a real nice story about Matt Jordan this week, didn't he?
It was great. I mean, he was at the Callaway event that I went to last week, which I mentioned, obviously, and it was really good seeing him and watching him tee off, knowing how kind of not under pressure, but kind of how much he would have felt that being at the club he's been at since he was 7 years old. Loads of members there know him and obviously support him, and he's doing so well in his career at the moment. He's obviously had a great amateur career, represented Hoylake and Royal Liverpool Golf Club, you know, all over the world as an amateur, but now as a European Tour professional. And yeah, I mean, what a story for him to play four rounds for starters, because it would have been easy for him to play twice, miss the cut and go home, and that'd have been fine. But he was actually up there. He was contending for some periods. He was grinding out scores and looked great. Do you know what I mean? He looked like he was really enjoying himself too, and that's great. He was on the kind of, is it the open mic that they do sometimes on Sky, when they kind of get up close to him and his caddy making decisions and things like that, which I thought was great. And he deserves the coverage, absolutely. And, you know, there's lots of players that we can take away from this Open and kind of say, well, you know, that guy played great, or, you know, it was great to see more coverage of him. Because there were so many players, like Alex Fitzpatrick was another one that, you know, those of us that are kind of into our golf and follow amateur golf know that Alex has been brilliant for, you know, he's not a flash in the pan. He's not famous because he's Matt Fitzpatrick's little brother. He's famous because he's a very, very good player. And he's... Yeah. Been an amateur golfer. He's obviously from Yorkshire here where I am. So, you know, I've been hearing about him and know about him for a long time, and obviously played the Walker Cup. I think that was at Hoylake actually, not, you know, in the not too distant past, and it's obviously turned professional. You know, obviously it helps that you've got a brother as good as Matt to kind of put your game against to see whether you're anywhere near, you know, having a major champion in the family and him playing his first major championship, finishing, I think, was it tied for 17th or something like that, which is,
yeah, I believe so,
incredible. You know, great performance from him, and hopefully he kicks on and plays really well and goes on from here, because he's certainly proved that he's got the game to contend at that sort of level. And, you know, I think once he gets used to being in that kind of company that he would have been in, I think he'll do even better. And I think you'll see more than one Fitzpatrick on leaderboards for years to come, which is a great story as well. You know, it was just awesome. I mean, you could literally look down the leaderboard from the Open yesterday and just kind of, you know, there's stories all around there. You look at the likes of Tom Kim, who obviously did really well at the Scottish Open and just had a, you know, looked like his putting was all over the place in that last round, so didn't feature. We've got Sepp Straka, who is really turned into a fantastic player and should be a very solid player in the Ryder Cup, in my opinion. Jason Day, who looks like he's found his form again. John Rahm, who had showed flashes of being absolutely fantastic. Emiliano Grillo, who's been out of the limelight for a while, but seems to have found his game again. Rory, as always. One that I was a bit kind of, not a bolt from the blue, because I've heard of him before, But Shubhanka Sharma, who played some lovely stuff as well, got to sort of see him a lot on TV, which I've not seen his game much. Very, very good player. Obviously, Cam Young faded a little bit, did so well at St Andrews last year. And then you've got Max Homer and Matt Jordan up there. And poor old Tommy, who had a bit of a mare on that hole that you were talking about, 17, by absolutely flushing one through the back of the green and cost me a load of money in my each way bet. No, thanks, Tommy. But it's just a leaderboard packed with great players and great stories. Mm. And we look down a little bit further and we've got Henrik Stenson there, who's obviously come back into form a little bit and played quite nicely, shooting 69 in the final round yesterday as well. So yeah, there's just so many good players and so many stories that you can take away from the Open. It's just a full examination of everyone's game. You've got to drive it well, you've got to putt well, you've got to chip well. You've got to get a bit of luck and hopefully stay out of the bunkers at times, because they were fairly penal. But at the end of the day, the guy who generally manages his ball around the best and puts the best wins, and that was Brian Harman. So, I mean, that's off.
Yeah. And what I must do is last week we played the game and we mentioned a friend of mine that I play golf with, Matt, who hasn't qualified for the end of year competition yet. He still hasn't.
I saw his little... text exchange with you where it wasn't very happy about us talking about him, but
So this will come as a shock to him, getting a mention again this week, but he actually backed Brian Harman to win.
Did he?
And he took £600 off the bookies for that, which was fair play to him.
Absolutely, just needs to pull his finger out now and qualify
for the Pinder.
Is it the Pinder Trophy?
Pinder, yeah. So that was the Open. Cool. I did enjoy it. Look, I don't want people to think that I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it. I did base my week around it. And I did watch as much of it as I possibly could. And yeah, worthy winner in the end, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it was a great tournament, great watch, and just can't believe it's a full year until we get another Open Championship. But Troon should be amazing as well, and hopefully I'm going to get up there to that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, should be very good. Obviously, the site last time we were at Troon was the Stenson versus Mickelson shootout on the last day. So hopefully we get something as exciting as that rather than someone walking away with it. Because, you know, as good as it was watching Brian Harman win, the last day, so certainly the back nine of that final round was a little bit boring for me.
Yeah.
But nothing, can't take that. I'm sure Brian Harman's delighted that it was boring for everyone because, yeah, it just looked fairly easy for him at times, really. And it was just those sort of conditions where those guys chasing him, you couldn't really chase.
You couldn't really
get it too much. You couldn't really try too much because you could end up taking, you know, sevens and eights on holes and just play yourself out of it. But
yeah
it would have been nice to see some fireworks in the final round. And
absolutely,
yeah, Brian Harman ensured that we didn't. So well done, Brian. But yeah, I mean, obviously the majors are done for the year. We've got to wait now till the Masters next year. But we've got a lot of golf coming up with, obviously, the FedEx, the run-in for that. We've got the race to Dubai and obviously the Ryder Cup, which is the big one at the end of the year. And looking at the showing that we had this week from some of the Europeans, I think this is going to be, it's almost too close to call, Matt. I thought after watching us get absolutely humped at Whistling Straits, I thought this was going to be a torrid time for European golf for the next, you know, three or four Ryder Cups. But honestly, I think we're going to do it.
I want you to know that I never felt that.
Didn't you? I did. Watching the last one, I thought, Jesus, when are we ever going to win this again?
No, I can see. And even beyond this Ryder Cup, you know, because I think you've got players like the Højgaard twins who probably don't make this Ryder Cup team.
No, I'm not sure they do, really.
But I do believe that they will play Ryder Cups and they will have successful careers. In Ryder Cup, so
we won't have the Højgaards and the Fitzpatricks in
exactly.
I think our team's shaping up nicely with the like. I would not want to play John Rahm in anything because I just think he's one of those guys that almost the way that kind of Nicklaus or Woods would almost know that, or Seve would know that they'd beaten you on the first tee. He's got that kind of aura about it. I would stand on the first tee and be absolutely bricking it playing against John Rahm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we've obviously got Hovland, who's a fantastic player. We've got Rory, Straka. We've got Fitzpatrick. It's just, the list just goes on and on and on, doesn't it, of unbelievable world-class players now that we've got that have won tournaments, you know, in... Obviously, Rory's not won a major, but he's won tournaments everywhere. We've got Rahm now, who's won another two majors since the last Ryder Cup. We've got Fitzpatrick, who's a major champion since the last Ryder Cup. It's stacking up quite nicely, I think.
I think so.
Luke Donald's got a tough job in his captain's picks, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, and the other thing is, let's not forget, there's still quite a way to go. Still, somebody can...
Was it 6 weeks?
Yeah, but you know what? If somebody goes out and wins, you know, two events, similar to what Matt Wallace did a few years ago, didn't he? Kind of won a couple of events running up and, you know, still missed out. And somebody just sitting on the fence there can kind of force their way in, lastminute.com, and that will come at the expense of somebody else. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I hope so. I mean, we've obviously got some, speaking of golf coming up, we've got some tournaments coming up this week. If we just kind of tick off, there was actually a tournament on the PGA Tour that was kind of co-sanctioned with the DP World Tour during the Open. And it was the Barracuda Championship over in the US, which there's a few European Tour players who didn't make the Open that went over there and played. But We saw Akshay Bhatia winning his first event on the PGA Tour, which is fantastic. Great player. Another Callaway guy as well, who they signed, you know, towards the start of this season, and he seems to be playing some great golf. But I want to... So in that tournament, it was quite a weird format. I don't know if you saw this, Matt, but it was like a points-based kind of thing that they did where like you got like five, you're plus five for an eagle and birdie's got, and if you made a bogey, it was like minus three and stuff like that. So it was
kind is this of, like the American Stableford, they call it, or something like that? Or?
Yes. Yeah, it is really. But yeah, it was a good event, and he finished on plus 40, which is very, very good. But tied for 17th, our man Marcus Armitage picked himself up some cash this week and will hopefully go a long way to helping him retain his card, because he's not had his best stuff this year, but hopefully this is the kind of catalyst to get him going. And yeah, we want to see a good finish for him to the end, for the end of the season, and hopefully get, you know, he's played that kind of season ending race to Dubai final for the last few years, and for him to be outside the top 100 at the minute and kind of on the brink of maybe not getting his card for next year is a bit of a fall for him. So I'm hoping he can play his way in there. Also, Dan Gavins is just outside the top 40 on the money list at the minute. And, you know, going into the tournament this week, which is at Galgorm Castle, where he won his first European Tour event in 2021, hopefully he can kind of pull some positive memories from that and put in a good performance as well and climb even further up the rankings. And yeah, it's, you know, this week wasn't just about the Open. There was tournaments going on across the pond as well to hopefully help some of these guys retain their cards for next year. So yeah, all good. But yeah, looking ahead to this week, we've obviously spoken about the event. We've got Galgorm over in Ireland on the DP World Tour, but also on the PGA Tour, we've got the 3M Championship as well. So some of the stars that you'll have seen at Hoylake have gone back across the pond to play over there too. I don't know if you've had much of a look at the field for this, Matt, but we've got the likes of Cam Young, Justin Thomas, who needs a good week, Sungjae Im, Sepp Straka, Tony Finau playing in that event as well.
I haven't had a look. I can't lie, because I mean,
it's always a bit of an anticlimax. The event that they stick on after a major is always one that no one really talks about.
All I know is if Stuart Sink is in the field, put your house on Stuart Sink, because for some reason that guy always play. I don't know if it's the Open or the Masters, forgive me, but he always does well in the tournament after one of those two. Wow. And I think it's one that he's won a couple of times.
Right.
Yeah, and somebody pointed that out to me a few years back, so I chucked a few quid on Stuart Sink, and he didn't win it, but he got me a place. But no, I'll be honest, I watched the golf, you know, pretty much all day yesterday, and then I had an early start today. So I do come in slightly underprepared for this week, which is not like me. Given the time that I spent on that quiz last week, I think you should let me off.
Okay. No, you did put in some homework last week, so I'll let you off.
I did.
So away from the world of elite professional golf, then we've
you
got
to talk about elite amateurs.
No,
not oh, okay, sorry.
Not you. So you're north of the border at the moment, haven't you? You've made the trip up to the bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
I am,
and you're at Cameron House, aren't you?
I am at Cameron House. I'm sitting here.
Anyone listening has ever been up there, but I mean, have you got nice weather up there today?
Yeah, it's been lovely. We've been out in shorts and T-shirt and played this afternoon. And it looks okay tomorrow morning for when we play. The rain's coming in maybe tomorrow afternoon, but we'll be on the road heading home by then. But
cool.
Yeah, let me just say, Cameron House, by the way, wow.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sitting in this room that's probably big enough to house my entire family. We've just had a lovely dinner. I had a nice big steak, if you're into that sort of thing.
Look at me.
Yep. And yeah, I mean, look, given the location, right, so obviously we're sitting on, as you said, we're sitting on the banks of Loch Lomond here, just down the road from the world famous Loch Lomond golf course.
Yeah.
And this as a venue has got two courses. One's like a little 9-hole. I want to say it's like a glorified pitch and putt. You know, it's ideal if you've got your family, your kids.
The wee, you know, demon.
The wee demon. Yeah. So there is one. There's one par four that's like 440 yards, but there's also a par four that's 205 yards, for example. It's and then the rest are like par threes and stuff. And it's really nice, well laid out. You know, condition isn't spectacular, but that's what you're going to get when we go to play the Carrick tomorrow, which is the 18 hole championship course that they've got up here. The hotel is just incredible. Like we got shown around. So I'm here with Darren of Golf Shake fame, who declined the invitation to come on the podcast, claiming he's too busy.
We'll get him again. One day. We'll get him
one day. So he's literally just in the room next door to me, beavering away. So we got shown around. And as we were being shown around, we heard like one of these kind of seaplanes coming into land outside on the lock, which was pretty cool to watch. They showed us the health club, the swimming pool. Then they said, oh, come in here and look at this. And they flicked the light on, and there's a 29-seat cinema.
Beautiful.
Within the hotel.
Barbie,
no, they do show like the latest films, I believe. I can't remember what she said they're showing tonight.
Back to the Future one.
I know hundreds of different whiskies on offer if you're into that sort of thing. The food is really, really good. There's different places. They showed us the kind of like the relaxed kind of sports bar area. Plus, you've got the Cameron Grill, which is where we've just been and eaten. It's just, and you know, the staff can't do enough for you. It's a really nice, place to be. Actually, we're being really well looked after. So we're up and out, and we've got the Carrick tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock before heading back. So it's
very good.
Yeah,
I mean, for those of you that have never been to Loch Lomond, it's just north of Glasgow. It's got kind of how you would describe it, really, isn't it? Yeah, it's probably, what, half an hour, 40 minutes north of Glasgow?
I think so, about that, yeah.
But it's a stunning part. Is it the Trossachs National Park? Is that what it's called? But yeah.
I don't know. Your knowledge is probably better than mine.
I'm sad. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Trossachs National Park, which is beautiful. I mean, I've been to Cameron House once. I was just saying before we started the podcast, I stayed there when the Ryder Cup was at Glen Eagles. I stayed there and we kind of drove across to Glen Eagles, which is about an hour away each day, and came back to Loch Lomond each night, which was just lovely, really. And some of the evenings that we got just staring out over the loch and having a little chipping comp on the Wee Demon were pretty good. The Boathouse restaurant that we went to was really good as well. But yeah, I mean, everything about it is class, like you say. It's just a really great venue. I've been lucky enough to go to Loch Lomond itself and play a couple of times there as well, which is one of the best golf experiences you'll ever have in terms of off the golf course as well as on it. It's absolutely fantastic. But it's a lovely, lovely part of Scotland. And on a nice day with, you know, there's red deer around there and you generally see those kind of skipping around on the golf courses, it's just magic. It really is.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to playing the Carrick in the morning. That's for sure.
I'll bet you
and the breakfast. And the breakfast.
The breakfast. You've got to have haggis for breakfast.
No.
Why? No. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Cocoa Pops.
please, no.
But I actually thought you were going to ask me about my round of golf on Friday morning. Not going to lie, a little bit disappointed it's not been brought up yet.
To be honest, mate. I didn't know Friday morning, but now that you've mentioned it, I to be honest, I try to ignore your social media because it's just
brilliant,
relentless. But yeah, I saw that you bottled a really nice round. So yeah, tell us about that.
I suppose I did bottle it.
I'm kidding.
I had the best front nine ever. I was two under on the front nine.
What?
Just holding putts for fun, finding fairways. Probably the best I think I don't know, through 11 holes, probably the best I've ever played, because I was stood on the 12th tee, I was 3 under gross, then made a bogey, then made another bogey, and then I'm not going to lie, I stood on the 17th tee, I was still 1 under gross, and I pulled my tee shot left into some thick rough, and at that point, I've shot level par before, but I've never shot under par before.
Okay.
And I'm kind of stood in the thick thick rough, and it is thick because the weather conditions we've had is perfect for growing grass in Suffolk. We've had a mixture of rain, temperature, sun, and you know the rough in places is quite snaggy at the moment. You know, when I was in the deep rough, and I've got a kind of a gap to get through, and I'm you know hitting a kind of low punchy three iron is a shot that I've got just to kind of chase it up. And I thought to myself, look, I can take a risk. I could have chipped it out sideways. And if I'd have done that, I still would have had like 200 yards to the green. And I thought to myself, it's still going to be quite a tricky bogey from there anyway. And I thought to myself, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for it because I've been playing well. And in kind of trying to score a 68, I kind of sacrificed a 69. Ended up making a double on the 17th. Had a good look, well, a relatively good look for birdie on the last, which is a par three, and just the putt didn't drop. So I shot 70, so I shot one over. And this is what gets me about this game, because if you'd have said to me on the first tee, look, you're going to shoot one over today.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, you
one over is one over. Do you know what I mean?
The way you've done it is the bit that makes you, you know, if you'd have gone out three over and come back two under, you'd be delighted, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, it was when I sat down after. I think it's very easy to kind of look at that straight away and think, oh, do you know what? That was the one that got away today. That was the one. You was three under through 11. You know, you could have kicked on. You could have just, you know. But actually, you know, that was my lowest round of golf for 2 years, I think. I think I worked out two, maybe 3 years.
Okay.
You know, a nice little handicap cut. The index is now down at 3.8, which is the lowest it's ever been. You know, so when all said and done, I kind of reflect on it and I think, yeah, do you know what? Shooting a 70 in... the equivalent to me of 40 points with a blob in theory. I know it's the first time I've had 40 points in God knows how long. So yeah, when all is said and done, you know, I shot one over, I shot 70. It's, you know, pretty solid, pretty good golf. It's just like you say, being three under was the one that was the bitter pill to swallow, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's why
I'm an amateur.
Game, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's what keeps you coming back every week, isn't it? And trying again and trying hard, because it's one that you know. I think it's one of those games that you know you can always get better at, can't you? Not even the best player, not even Tiger Woods in his peak, would have walked off a golf course and gone, "Yeah, that's as good as I could have shot." Because it's not that, because he knows that if he practices, he can get better and he can play better, and that's why this game's so. It's not like, you know, in snooker, you have a 147 break, and that's as good as you can do.
Yeah.
You can't do any better.
Same in darts with a 9 darter.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, maybe even, I know you can do better than this, but you know, you score a century or something at cricket. You know, you literally think, well, yeah, does it get much better than that? Well, yeah. Not really, but in golf, you can always do better, can't you? You can always score better.
Absolutely.
Hold another putt. Or, yeah, but it's... yeah, it's just that. That's why we love this game so much, isn't it? And I'm sure loads of you out there listening will know the feeling of letting a really good round slip, or you know, being up a few holes against one of your mates, and all of a sudden they beat you on the last, or you miss the two footer or something. We've all done it, and you know, it's a very bitter pill to swallow at times. But it's golf, and that's why we love it. But that's why we hate it at the same time. So, yeah, it's tough. But I'm sure, you know, you'll go out there tomorrow and hopefully put a decent score in, and at least you can be happy in the fact that you've qualified for the Pinder Trophy and Matt Lockwood hasn't yet. So
exactly. Bosh. Love that.
It's always that. Matt, come on. But yeah, we're going to keep talking about this every. I don't even know this guy, but I just know that he's going to get this complex about me and you bashing him every week. But yeah, come on, Matt, pull your finger out.
Come on.
So, other than Carrick tomorrow, what does the next week hold for you in terms of golf?
The next week is actually quite quiet for me this week.
Five rounds.
So the Carrick tomorrow, and then I'll be honest, I probably won't play again until Friday, but then I'll play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think we've got captain's weekend this weekend.
Cool.
I don't actually know what that means anymore. other than there's a Stableford on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, but then I'll get another little run of events in a few weeks where I've got a couple more of the county events. And a little trip, actually, I don't know if it's too early to start talking about this, but got a little trip up to the northeast. For a friend's birthday.
Where are you going?
We're going to play at Gossick.
Oh, you golf? Right, okay.
Yeah. So we've got three courses up in the northeast to play. Bamborough Castle, somewhere else. So, yeah, it's looking forward to that because they look good and it's a part of the country that I've not really explored too much for golf, so...
No, they're awesome. I mean, I've not played up there myself. I know loads of them because it's quite convenient for me or people around here to get there. Do you know what I mean? It's not a million miles away. But yeah, Gossick, Bamborough Castle, that kind of area. There's just so many good golf courses up there, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's certainly a kind of golfing. I was going to say coastline, but some of them are inland as well. But you know, it's a kind of area of Britain that maybe doesn't get all the accolades it deserves because of the quality of the golf courses is very. I think there's Dunstanborough up there as well.
That's the other one we're playing. So it's those three: Dunstanborough, Bamborough Castle, and Gossick.
Yeah, I mean, you'll absolutely love them, mate.
They're
and then they're not a million miles further up. You're getting in. Towards like North Berwick and places like that.
Yeah.
Sea Houses is up there as well, which is pretty cool. And Alnwick Castle is obviously where they filmed some of Harry Potter, which is pretty cool.
What about you? Got much on?
No. Just work, mate. I'm busy this week. So I've got one of my staff's away. So I'm having to do quite a lot in the shop this week, really, and not as much coaching as I would like to do. So that's a little bit on the quiet side. But, yeah, to be honest, I need to get my golf game somewhere because I've got a few tournaments coming up. So the following week I've got quite a biggish like pro-am that I'm playing in. So when we do this podcast next week, I'll have probably played my first round in that. So it's Yorkshire PGA Pro-Am. So we play Ganton one day and Fulford the other. So I think we play Fulford on the Monday, which obviously used to be the home of the Benson Hedges European Tour event back in the day. If you remember that famous picture of Bernard Langer playing it out of the tree, that was at Fulford.
Yep.
That is on the Monday. And then Ganton, which is obviously a very famous golf course, is on the Tuesday. So
nice.
So it's a pro-am format, but obviously individual, professional kind of prize as well. So yeah, it's one of those that I need to get my game in shape because I played a few holes the other night with two of the lads from here, Ben, who does some work for me, but is also a full-time player and very, very good player. And then a lad called Tom as well, Tom North, who actually won his first professional event this week as well on the 2020 Pro Tour. So those two guys, I went out and played with them and I was honestly, mate, I was embarrassingly bad. So bad. Just awful. I just feel like I've got zero power and absolutely no idea where the ball's going to go. So, yeah, that needs to change quite drastically within the next 7, 8, 9 days because, yeah, it could be embarrassing otherwise. But, hey.
I highly recommend Cobra Aerojet Freewood because apparently all you've got to do is touch the ball with the club face and the thing just flies.
Really?
Oh, mate, it's like cheating.
Well, I have had that in my bag all year, to be honest. So,
Matt Fitzpatrick put one in for the Open.
Did he? It is a good club.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully we have a decent event and hopefully play some decent golf and see what happens. But on the basis of the way I played the other night, not so sure. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we just hole a load of putts and it kind of papers over the cracks a little bit. But yeah, we'll see.
You'll be fine. Class is permanent.
We've also got this week the Seniors Open, which we haven't really spoken about. No. My dad actually went to qualifying for it today and despite being 2 under after 12, managed to crumble a little bit and he finished 2 over, which I don't think is going to qualify. So,
where did he play qualifying?
Ashburnham Golf Club.
Okay. I nearly ended up there once, but I went to Pyle and Kenfig instead, okay, which I believe is another venue.
It is, yeah, indeed.
Of the, yeah.
It is, but yeah, I mean, the scene is open for those who don't know, is at Porthcawl, which is amazing.
I played, that was the wettest I've ever been on a golf course.
It's, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are Welsh, and they reckon it is the best course in Wales by a million miles. So
absolutely. I would say probably the best set of par threes I think I've ever played on a golf course. Yeah.
Well, I think I'd love to play it one day. I mean, it is literally on the elbow of Britain, basically in the middle of nowhere. But what a golf course. And like, I remember Langer winning it last time it was there. Shock, because he seems to win everything. And he's obviously just come off the back of winning the US Seniors Open. So he must be favourite going into this event. But, you know, the likes of Padraig Harrington that played quite nicely at the Open in patches, Darren Clarke, which, you know, who had his moments as well, will obviously fancy a good performance, and they're kind of very, very good links players as well. So I think we'd be in for a good tournament.
Yeah. Do you know what's incredible? I'm just looking at the scores for qualifying. Like, it's incredible, like, just how many seniors have tried to qualify for this.
Yeah.
I generally didn't.
Extra golf course, I think, because there were so many people entered. So.
Yeah, I didn't realise. As I was going down, I just want to say, commiserations. I'm looking at the scores from Pyle and Kenfig qualifier. And I just want to say commiserations to Roderick Bastard, who shot one over and didn't qualify. Right. What a name.
What a guy as well. So he's the manager at Marbella Club over in Spain. So I've met him a few times. Very, very good player.
Ugh.
And whenever me and the lads go out to Spain, he always looks after us at Marbella Club. Really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't realise he was as good a player as he is, because I've obviously seen him in this, but he also was doing really well at a tournament in Turkey at Gloria last time I saw as well. I don't know whether it was like qualifying to get on the seniors tour or legends tour potentially. But yeah, put some good scores in there. So yeah.
He is Timothy Rastel.
Yeah. Bless him.
Damn that double bogey on the 12th.
I know. He said he thinned a nine on the back of the green. Yeah. He was gutted. Two under to there, and yeah, just had a bit of a collapse. What qualified in the end?
Because it doesn't say, it just gives you the scores.
I think there was five spaces. So
I can only assume that, yes, you're right, because there's a line underneath the top five and then six. So three under qualified.
Did it? Right. Okay.
Yeah. There was one guy, Warren Bennett, who was on three under, who didn't qualify. So I assume that would have gone to
a
four-way playoff for three spots, which is an absolute terrible way to miss out, I don't think.
It is. They had that. I saw that happened at Dundonald, didn't it, in the Open qualifying. There was there was one guy that missed out on the Open. That would have been absolutely gutting. But yeah, I mean, that's golf at the end of the day, and it's tough, isn't it? But yeah, unfortunately, my dad won't be at the Seniors Open, but... but yeah, there's always next year. Always next year.
But we do have we have a major in ladies this week, don't we?
Evian, is it? Yeah.
I think it's the Evian this week, is it? I might be wrong.
Always a good event. No, I think you're absolutely right. The Evian is a really cool event. So, I mean, looking at the way Charlie Hull played, just literally, what was it, 2 weeks ago? I would put her favourite to win this. You know, I'm sure she's probably not with the bookies, but I think going into it, she's playing some really good golf. And last year, she was pretty close as well at the Evian. She played really well, just faltered a little bit at the end. Céline Boutier is another one. It's obviously in her home country, so could do very, very well. But I mean, you'd be hard pushed to look past the likes of Nelly Korda, who's playing some really nice golf. And to be honest, I mean, ladies golf is just such an open fit. I mean, I know we've just seen Brian Harman come out of relative obscurity. I mean, he's in the top 25 in the world player to win the Open. But I mean, ladies golf, it seems like anyone out of the 100 could win. So it's bonkers, really. But yeah, you know, I'd expect Charlie to do. She's going to be who I put my money on anyway, definitely.
I don't think I'd be too far behind you with that pick.
Yeah, she's playing lovely at the minute, and hopefully she does well. Also, I'd like to see Georgia Hall do well, because I just like her as a player. I think she's very good. But yeah, I've literally just, as you've mentioned, the Evian, obviously a lot of the brands do special tour bags for events, don't they? And the tailor-made one for the Evian is pretty cool.
I haven't seen that yet. I'll be honest.
It's very Barbie pink and white. But
Yes, I have seen it, actually. Hannah Holden from MCG shared it.
Ah, did she? Okay. No,
yeah, I did see that.
But yeah, I mean, it's always a good event, the Evian, and the course is quite undulating from, I mean, I've never played it, but having watched it quite a few times on TV, it's one of those that... it's one off the tee. There's some various changing in elevation and kind of slope in the fairways and things like that. So it can be quite tricky off the tee, but one of those courses that's quite scoreable as well. Do you know what I mean? So hopefully we see a good kind of performance from the British girls. But I mean, Leona Maguire is another one who seems to be playing really, really nicely every time I look at a leaderboard this year. So potentially she's got a chance of winning her first major, but you never know. But yeah, hopefully this time next week I'll be bringing you news of me improving my golf and putting a decent round in, and hopefully you'll have shot under par in your captain's weekend. And who knows, stranger things might happen, but Matt Lockwood might qualify for the Pinder Trophy as well. You never know, mate.
Do you know what? We've had a midweek Stableford today, and I believe at home in Suffolk, the weather has been appalling.
Yeah.
And I checked the scores, and basically we've had four people enter this midweek Stableford, two from Division 1, two for Division 2.
Right.
And I sent them a message saying, mate, this was your chance.
Oh, it was. You should have been in there.
All you needed to do was beat two people.
Lockers, where are you, man?
And it was a big, big opportunity missed from him today. One of the guys that's gone out, he did shoot 38 points, to be fair to the guy. So it would have been
Well done.
Yeah, would have been a big ask for him to beat that score anyway.
It would, absolutely.
Yeah.
Still, he would have only had a few guys to beat, but you never know.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Well, fingers crossed, mate, for another good week. Enjoy the Carrick tomorrow, and no doubt you'll tell us all about it when we speak next week. For now, thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you all next time we get together, which hopefully will be next Monday evening.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.